Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this offering that was given. Thanks for the tithes that was given, Lord. You know each one of us' hearts. Bless those that was able to give. Those who are not able to give, still bless them. Lord, we just ask your blessing over this, and it be used in the form that you want it to be used. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Come on, let's give this choir and these ushers a hand for their service. Thank you, contemporaries, Sister Matters, and Sister Davis, Sister Dickerson, those who have blessed our souls as soloists today. We praise God for these musicians, for Deacon Patrick Lewis, our drummer, for Mrs. LaFay Duran, our organist, for Mrs. Connie Jackson, our pianist, and we thank God for Sister Jennifer Martin directing the choir today. Lord our God, how thankful we are for your goodness to us. When we were hungry, you fed us. When our bodies needed healing, you healed us. When we were overcome with grief, you comforted us. And so we thank you for being all to us that we need. And now, God, we need a fresh anointing. We need a fresh anointing. We need you to lay your hands on us as never before. Strengthen us for this day and for this hour. We ask for preaching power. Thank you again for your goodness to each one of us. Make us now worthy recipients of the means of grace that we call the bread, the body of Christ, the drink, the blood of Christ. Thank you for making us your disciples, for moving us from the deadly penalty of sin to making us saints, victorious in all that we undertake to do. Bless now those of us who have ears to hear. May we hear the word of God. Those of us who have the gift of spiritual sight, may we see Christ, the cross, him crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. Thank again. Bless now this preacher. We thank again for your anointing in my life. Honor me again with your presence and with your power. For it's in the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on here, help me. Hallelujah. 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 The word, the highest praise. Hunger cannot separate us from the love of God. And we know Romans 8, 28 and 35 through 38 serves as the basis for the morning message. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, what can separate you from the love of Christ? Shall hard trials or distress or persecution or being hungry? Hunger, we live in America, the richest land in the world, the most prosperous of people or persons live in these United States. But for every person that you find that is filled with natural food, there are 3 to 5 persons that go hungry. In talking with the director of San Antonio Food Bank, he shared with me that every night there are entire families in San Antonio who go to bed nightly hungry. They are hungry for days. And the gift that we gave, $5,000, Second Baptist gave several months ago, to the food bank, served to help them meet their $3 million budget to feed the hungry. Second Baptist, we can applaud ourselves for the efforts that we make to feed the hungry. We can applaud ourselves for the effort that we make to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to provide shelter for those who have no shelter. Do you not know that several of our members meet every Monday? It's called the Goodwill Committee. And they disperse funds to help people pay their rent, to help people pay their electric bill. Sometimes they help feed those who are hungry. This says to me that we are about the Lord's work. For he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to see about me. Lord, when did we see you hungry or naked or needing shelter? When did we see you sick? He said, when you've done unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so I salute Second Baptist for our efforts to meet the needs of those persons who are hungry. There's another text that I'd like to share with you today. Paul has written to the church at Rome, to the believers at Rome from Corinth. He has written from that beautiful seaport city to Rome. Paul did not establish a church in Rome, but there was believers there. He knew that at the end of his life, at the end of his fighting, a good fight, the end of his keeping the faith, the end of him running the race, that he would have to go to Rome, to Nero's chopping block, where his head would be severed from his body and where he would be martyred for the faith of Jesus Christ. He'd be martyred for the faith that he fought against. You remember, he was very scholarly. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews. He was a man that was lettered, but yet in his zeal to fulfill the law, he forgot about the lawgiver. He forgot about Jesus Christ, who had come from heaven down to give life. I've come that you may have life, he said, and that you may have it more abundantly. He had come to declare that as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He had come to declare that your fathers ate bread in the wilderness and they died. But I am the bread of life that came from heaven down. He that eateth of me shall never die. He had forgotten about Jesus the Christ. And so on his way to Damascus to bring those believers, to bring the people of the way, that they may be fed to the lions, that they may be tried and found guilty of being soldiers of the cross. Do I have any help here today? Help me, carpet. Help me, walls. When I read about the life of the Apostle Paul, I discover that he was beaten, that he was in prison, that he was whipped with many stripes. And when I read about his life, Paul still writes to say that no trial, no distress, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Paul, in essence, is saying no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I've been through some trials. I felt depressed. But thanks be to God, it did not destroy me. It made me a better person of faith. Is there anybody here that's been through something that can now say, I am persuaded. I've been through it. I've been through the trials. But now I am convinced. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. When I read John chapter 6, I find in John chapter 6 a wonderful story about people being hungry. Matthew records that John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, has now had his life taken from him. He was beheaded for his faith and for his telling Herod that he should not have his brother's wife. Oh, somebody will say amen there. He lost his life. And so the Bible records that John sent a message to Jesus saying, art thou the Christ, or should we look for another? Jesus did not say, I am the Christ. What Jesus said, Sister Harrison, he said, look at here. You go back and tell John that the deaf hear, that the lame walk, and that the poor have the gospel preached to them. I am the Messiah. I am the living one. In John chapter 6, we find these words about the life, the love of Jesus Christ. When I read the text, I discover that Jesus speaks to us in this manner. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the foreshore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountain and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, what shall we buy? What shall we buy bread for these? Or where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Philip answered this only to Jesus asked this only to test him. For he already knew and had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months of wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy here with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There were plenty of grass in that place, and the people sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to disciples, gather up the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. And so they gathered up the leftovers. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, are you hungry? There are a lot of people who are hungry, and some are not hungry for food. Some are hungry for love. When you look at the woman in John 4th or 5th chapter, you discover that Jesus had come to Samaria. He'd come to Samaria and sat on a well. Woman came at noon to draw water. Why would she come at noon? Some theologians said because of her lifestyle, because she was an outcast in the community. But Jesus was sitting there on the well, and the Bible says he asked her for a drink. Then he asked her, woman, where is your husband? Where is your covering? Where is he that provides for you? And she said, Lord, I have none. He said, that's right. You've had five. You desired five. You've had hunger for five. And the one that you're with now, doesn't belong to you. Oh, Lord. I'm not going to meddle, but there's somebody here in this place that got somebody that don't belong to you. Oh, yeah, I don't want to meddle. I don't want to throw no stones, but there's somebody here that you got somebody that don't belong to you. Jesus asked her for a drink, and then he told her, if you had asked me for a drink, I would have given you a drink of everlasting water. There are some people who are hungry for love. There are some people who are hungry for healing. You remember the man by the pool for 38 years. He said, there's no one to put me into the pool. The question I raise is, why is there no one? Why is that not a good neighbor? Where is that not a family member that when the angels came down to trouble the water, they would not put you in? Maybe nobody helped him because when he was up, he didn't help anybody. Help me, somebody. When you are up, and you feeling all right, and somebody's bragging on you, telling you that you are all of that, a bag of chips, and you got the soda and the t-shirt and the trophy. Can I tell you something? You may be up today, but you may be down tomorrow. And so while you up, you ought to try to help somebody. Not walk by people at church and don't speak to them. Not shake folks' hand because you think that your hand is better than somebody else's hand. I stopped by on my way to heaven to tell you, you can get sick one day. Folk will visit you that day, visit you the next day, visit you the next week. But the longer you stay sick, the longer the crowd becomes. So my story is today, when you see folks sick, go visit them. Send them a good well call. Send them a happy day card. Don't just think that you can make it all by yourself. For you cannot make it all by yourself. The songwriter said, I just can't make it all by myself. I need Jesus on my side. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, tell me, where would we be? Some people are hungry for healing. Some people are hungry for affection. Some people are hungry for a better job. But can I help you here? If you want a better job, do the best you can on that job. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you may have to be a street sweeper, but be the best street sweeper that you can. Wherever you're working, if you're working at McDonald's and flipping burgers for McDonald's, work until somebody see your work. And offer you a job of being a manager. And then somebody see you can manage it well. And then offer you a franchise. Oh, help me, somebody. Do the best you can. Wherever you can. For God is watching. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody hungry in this place today? If you're hungry, I got a banana for you. Somebody saying, well, you don't eat in church. But let me tell you something. When the Lord speaks to you, you got to move. So I ask the question, is there anybody in this hungry this morning? I know we do not eat in church, but today we will make an exception. Anyone want this banana? Often the things we eat produce leftovers that we throw away. I'm afraid that there are many people in the world today who would love to eat our leftovers because they are so hungry. Jesus is here today offering the food, offering us food and more. When you look at the text tells us that this crowd, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. When you look at the nuclear family, the family that consists of husband and wife and children or child, you could say that maybe there were 15,000 persons in that crowd. And in that crowd, there was a person who had a young boy who had two fish and five loaves of bread. I want to share three things with you and then go to my seat. The first thing I want to share with you is know how to handle your frustrations. The disciples come to Jesus in Matthew chapter 14. Disciples come to Jesus. They see the crowd and they said to him, "Lord, send them away that they may go and buy victuals, that they may go and buy food. The day is drawing near and the stores will be closing soon. Send them away." This is the idea that I have. When people are hungry, some disciples say, "Lord, send them away." But can I say something to Second Baptist? When folk come to us who are hungry for the word of God, but don't look like us, don't smell like us, don't talk like us, but they still need the love of God that we share and that we have, do not send them away. Offer them the word of God. Offer them the Sunday school classroom. Offer them the missionary. Offer them something that can feed their souls. For they're saying, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more." Disciple comes. He's frustrated. He said, Lord, we don't have enough money in our treasury to feed the hungry." I agree with him. We don't have enough money in Second Baptist Treasury to feed all of San Antonio. But we can feed one. We can feed two. We can feed a family. We can feed a boy. We can feed a girl. We can feed a husband. We can feed a man. We can feed a wife. We can feed a woman. I was thinking the other day as I was down to Corpus Christi, I was walking by the seashore, and I saw some fish. I saw some fish, and I looked at them and I said to myself, what are they doing? What are they doing crawling? What are they doing moving? And I saw a person throwing one in and one out and one in and one out. And I said to myself, as I read a story about sea fish or sailfish, a fish that they threw that crawled upon the seashore, and one little boy was throwing them back. Man said, "Why are you throwing them back? You can't save them." He said, "The one that I threw back, I saved that one." Can I help you here? The one person we help, that's the one person we save. The one person we throw back, that's the one person we save. Satan says to us, "Don't try to save anybody." But thanks be to God, I've learned how to handle my frustration. Man comes, he said, "Send them away. I have an idea. Send them away." But Jesus said, No, that's not my plan. My plan is for you to feed them." And so Jesus said to the disciples, "Feed them. Feed them." We should come to Christ when we are frustrated and say, "Lord, show me your plan. Show me your plans for my life. Show me your plans for my life." "You feed them," he said. The call of God is always beyond our grasp. Can I say that God's plan for our lives seems always beyond our grasp? God's call resonates in our potential, not in our present reality. Oh, help me somebody. Did you hear what I said? God's plan resonates in our potential. God sees what's in us, not where we are today. God has a plan for our lives greater than what we can see. All we have to do is trust in God, have faith that God will bring his plan to fruition. He never stops calling us to take one more step. Listen to what he's really saying to them. He's saying to the disciples, you are the light of the world. And so he says to them, feed them. Know how to handle your frustrations. Let Jesus solve your problems. Secondly, there's always someone in the crowd who has just what you need. Oh, help me somebody. There's always somebody in the crowd that has just what you need. And so Andrew says to him, Lord, there's a lad here with two fish and five loaves of bread. But what is that among so many? Can I help you? There's always someone in the crowd who has what you need. Can I say something to our young people? Young people, keep on singing. Keep on doing the choral readers. What a great job you did today. Keep on being in the choral readers. Keep on beating your drums. Keep on singing to God. Some folks may say they don't need to be doing that. But thanks be to God, there's a lad here. There's a child in our midst that has just what we need. If you don't like the child that's in your midst, just would think about grandmother loves him. Grandmother loves him. I have a problem when folks say to me, Reverend Jemison, why are you letting those kids do that? If they can't do that at the church, they'll do that in the world. Oh, help me somebody. If they can't quote scriptures in the world, they'll be rapping. And you'll say to my, you say, whatever happened to little Timmy? Whatever happened to little Robert Jr.? What happened to little Robert Jr. is that you didn't encourage him. You didn't say to him, great job. You didn't say to him, praise the Lord. I need to tell Second Baptist, everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, let it give glory to God. Everything that God has breathed on, let it praise God. I don't know about you, but I've come to praise him. And I don't mind being led by a young person. For it was a young person named David that said, let no man heart fail. Thy servant would go, took a slingshot and killed Goliath. Can I help you here? The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And he can use whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to, and wherever he wants to bring glory and honor to his name. Is there anybody here that's willing to help me praise the Lord in this place? Well, he's worthy of all our praise and all our thanksgiving. So that little boy, had it been one of us, we probably would have said, how much you going to give me for my two fish and five loaves of bread? Mama put her soul in baking this bread. Daddy put his heart in catching the fish. You owe me something. But can I help Second Baptist? What God has in the crowd belongs to God. That it first belonged to him. And sometimes I look out in the crowd and I see 400 people. And I tell Jackie, baby, we had 425 people at church today. She says, Jimmy, I don't know how you count. But I didn't count no 450 people. I counted maybe 275 or 300. But I looked through the eyes of faith. Maybe it wasn't 425 today, but maybe 425 next Sunday. Shared with the 8 o'clock service this morning, Reverend Allen, John Carlton Allen, the late John Carlton Allen, the pastor, former pastor of Mount Pleasant. I was in a group with him, about 100 people, and they asked him to give the offering, to take up the offering. And John Carlton Allen really knew how to take up an offering. He looked up and he saw 100 people, couldn't have seen more. He said, I see $3,000 in this crowd. I said, oh, Lord. He said, I need 20 people to stand up who will give $100 apiece. I reached for my pocket and I said, no, I ain't giving no $100. When I finished talking about what I was not going to do,
I looked around and I saw 22 people walking up the front with $100 in their hands. And I said to myself, some people see what God sees. Help me, somebody. Some people see the blessing that God has and that God has given to them, and they're willing to share back to God what God has given to them. Can I help somebody here? When you give, God gives back to you. When you bless the Lord blesses you. Is there anybody here that thought they could not make the ends meet, but you paid your tithes, and at the end of the day, you had more to give than you had before, because God loves a cheerful giver.
I walked up to John Carlton after the service. I said, man, how much did they raise? He said, Jimison, we raised over $3,000.
I was convicted.
And I said, well, man, here's another 100. He looked at me and said, why didn't you give it when I asked for it? I said, well, do you want it? He said, I want two more. I said, no, you ain't getting two. You're getting one. Gave him the one. And guess what? Came back to Second Baptist. Sit down at my desk. And at my desk, there are always stuff in the seat. So I reached in the seat and I saw this card that said Reverend Jimison. I opened up the card and there was a gift of $200. I said to myself, I should have given that $200 because I would have gotten $400 back. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, what you give to God, God gives it back to you. There is a lad here with two fish and five loaves of bread.
Finally, my brothers and sisters, if you don't want to be hungry, give God your frustrations. And then share your resources with the people of God and with God. And then finally, my brothers and sisters, follow Jesus' instructions and command. The Bible said that Jesus said, bring it to me. Whatever you got, give it to the Lord.
It first belonged to him. How can you say that the steak in your house belongs to you and nobody else when the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to him? What can you say about, not giving to God when God has blessed you with so much? Give it to him. And look at what God, through Jesus Christ, does. When they bring him the fish and five loaves of bread, he takes it. He offers it up to God. He blesses it. He asks God to multiply it. It ought to be somebody here that God has multiplied the little blessing that you had. God blessed it. I don't know about you, but I used to live in a shack. I used to live in a shotgun house. When I was born, they took me from Parkland Hospital to 1500 Preston Street. Grew up on Preston Street till I was 6 years old and had lived in a shack, lived in a shotgun house. I know I'm the only person that ever lived in a shotgun house. You know what a shotgun house is, don't you? You open the front door and you can see the back door. You know what a shotgun house looks like. Toilet in the back of the house, outdoors. But thanks be to God. Because you were faithful. Because you gave God your frustrations. Because you honored God with your substance. He now has blessed you. You now live not on Struggle Hill, but I'm Satisfied Boulevard. You don't sing, I wished I had. You thank God for what you have. So I don't know about you, but some of us got 3 cars and 1 driver. Some of us got 2 cars and 1 driver. Can I help you here? I'm not saying get rid of anything you have. I'm just saying whatever you have, Whatever God has blessed you with, you ought to thank God for it. Thank him for the house. Thank him for the clothes. Thank him for the food. Thank God for everything that you have. The more you thank him, the more he gives to you. Frustration. We all have them. But give it to God. Resources. We all have them. But put it in the master's hand. The Bible said they put it in the master's hand. And guess what? He fed 5,000 men. Not count women and children. Can I help you here? Can you multiply? How can you get 5,000 out of two fish and five loaves of bread and folk eating till they fill? Have you watched folk at Second Baptist at breakfast? One guy would take 20 sausages. And guess what? I watch him eat. He is eating all of those sausages and eggs and grits, waffles and toast. Gets up, nothing on the plate. I said, man, you enjoy your breakfast? He said, I'll be back next Sunday. That tells me that whatever we're doing is meeting the needs of persons. He may not have another meal till next Sunday morning. Y'all not walking with me. Don't begrudge a person for the blessing that he or she has received. Just put it in God's hand. Today, and I'm closing, but today, after church, one of our members walked up to me and said, Reverend Jemison, I can't pay $13,000 to pay the church note. But my sister and I, once every other week, we're going to pay for the breakfast that the people eat. I said to myself, okay, we'll see. I opened that envelope, and guess what was in it? Two checks. One for $100, another for another $100. And a little note that says, in 2 weeks, we're going to repeat this. Somebody in this place ought to realize that God loves Second Baptist. And Second Baptist loves God. Put it in the master's hands. He knows what to do with it. You got a problem with your child, put it in God's hand. Got a problem with your bill collector, put it in God's hand. Got a problem with your husband, with your wife, with your child, put it in God's hand. God knows what to do. Bring it to me, Jesus said. They brought it to him. And then he said, tell the folk to sit down. I looked at that sit down, that means relax. When a person sits down, they are relaxed. He said, tell the people to relax. We got food, and we're going to share it. The Bible said that they ate till they're full. They were filled up. Lee, they didn't want any more. They were filled up. Guess what? When God feeds us, he fills us up. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away from me. This happiness that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away from me. Only what you do for Christ will last. And then the Bible said that after they were filled, they went away to their homes rejoicing. When you accept God's word, there's nothing that you can do but go home rejoicing.
The other day, I went to the dollar store. Jackie said, I buy groceries at the dollar store. That's not really true, but I do buy some stuff. I bought a pound cake at the dollar store. I went home, I cut it, I enjoyed it. I put it in opposite of the cut. And Jackie saw it, and she said to me, Jemison, where did you get that pound cake from? I said, did you enjoy it? She said, yeah, that's pretty good. I said, did it remind you of your mother? She said, not quite, but it's pretty good. Where'd you get it from? I said, the dollar store. She said, oh, my God. Can I help you here? If God got goodness for you, doesn't matter where it comes from. If it's good to you, rejoice. I've been looking for the rest of that pound cake for a week. I haven't found it anywhere. I'm scared to ask. Is there anybody here that wants to eat off the word of God? Can I tell you what the word of God will do for you? It'll bring you joy in your sorrow. It will comfort you in your grief. It will heal your body. You don't have to be hungry. God has a meal for you. It's in the life of Jesus Christ. Today I offer you Jesus Christ. Man from Galilee who will set your soul free. A man not asking you for anything but to give your love and your body and your soul to him. And guess what? You'll never be hungry again. You'll never be hungry again. You'll never be hungry again. For the word of God fills us. The other day I was driving down the street and Reverend Thomas and I stopped at Mr. and Mrs. G's. Mr. and Mrs. G's serves a good meal. And Reverend Thomas got his meal and got his meat. I decided that I didn't want any meat. I just wanted a vegetable plate. So when he finished his meal, I said, how was it? He said, well, it was pretty good. He said, how was yours? I looked at him, I laughed. I said, I didn't have any meat. He said to me, you know, when you got God, there's some things you just don't need. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. When you got God, he's meat for your journey. He's your hope for your tomorrows. Our deacons are coming. Is there anybody hungry? Is there anybody hungry? Church is standing. Lord, we thank you for filling us today, for removing our frustrations.
Test.
We thank you, our God, for taking what we have to offer and multiplying it. We thank you for blessing all that we give to you. Send us now servants who will serve you, who will be filled on your word and obey your commands. Thank you for relaxing us this day. We can be seated knowing that God is able to meet all of our needs.
the name of Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Come on, sing.
Praise him.
Come on, praise him.
Praise him. Praise him.
The door to my Father's house is open. We invite you.
Praise him.
Jesus,
blessed Savior.
He's worthy.
He's worthy to be praised. Come on, church, let's praise the Lord. Praise him. Don't you have reason to praise him? Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus. Jesus. Blessed Savior. He's worthy to be.
From the rising of the sun.
From the rising of the sun unto the going down.
For the Lord is worthy.
Worthy.
He's worthy.
Jesus is worthy.
He's worthy.
He's worthy.
He's worthy to be praised. Praise him. Why don't we just praise the Lord? He's been so good to us. He closed us this morning. He woke us up this morning. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy. Why don't we just hum that song? The devil don't understand women. Praise the Lord, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap today. Isn't he worthy? Let's praise him.